Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, as the government prepares to enact new gambling legislation, first suggested almost a decade ago, one senator is calling for the Saturday night lotto draw to be moved to after 9 p.m. and for a harder line to be taken against gambling advertising in general. I'll be joined shortly by parenting expert Dr. David Coleman. But first, Brian O'Connell has been looking at this for us. So, Brian, the legislation, when is it planned for?
Well, what we know is that a cross-party committee, as you said, published a report calling for tougher measures in the gambling laws than had previously been mooted by government. Some of what may be in line is a ban, for example, on gambling adverts before the watershed time of 9 p.m. and banning gambling machines. Minister of State James Brown said the Department of Justice will consider the recommendations of that report when the new new gambling regulator, that's set to come into operation next year.
And one senator has an issue with RTE scheduling of the national lotto draw.
Well, currently the draw takes place during the Saturday night movie, which last weekend was the animated comedy Hotel Transylvania. So that began just after 6:30 on RTE1 on Saturday night. And then the lotto draw takes place just before 8 p.m. and then it goes back to the Saturday night movie afterwards. It's likely this would be banned if legislation imposed a 9 p.m. curfew. One person not happy with the time of the lotto draw is Labour Party Senator Mark Wall. He believes RTE should not be broadcasting the lotto draw during the big week movie.
Well, I find it very unacceptable, Brian, that we are interrupting family time on a Saturday night. I mean, thousands of Irish families sit down on a Saturday night to watch the Saturday movie. And that's interrupted, you know, halfway through that particular movie by the lotto. I can't for the life of me think of why the lotto cannot be on at a later time. It needs to be on at a later time, you know, at 9 o'clock, to allow that family time, to allow families to sit down together. And I would be calling on RTE and again the National Lottery once again to put the lotto on after the Saturday movie. We have learned during the pandemic that so many people who were homeschooling their children had to explain what gambling was when they saw gambling ads on the telly. That is unacceptable. Some of those children were as young as 6 years of age. We have legislation coming through to regulate that, and that can't come quick enough. No child should be exposed to gambling, and I think we need a watershed, and I think that's the most important issue at play here. We've waited a long time for gambling legislation in this country. It is on the way, and we all need to get behind it.
What do you make of the information that the lottery themselves gave at the Oireachtas Committee that between 2015 and 2020, they spent 90 million of unclaimed prizes on advertising and marketing?
It's totally unacceptable. You know, the amount of gambling ads and lottery ads that are, and the money's been spent on it, I think that could be better spent. You know, I'm aware of the great lottery investment in communities, etc., but that money should be spent in communities.
And then some of the advertisements then, Mark, it's almost like a life beyond your wildest dreams, isn't it?
But the reality on gambling, and the reality is that it's a lonely place for so many people in this country, as I've learned over the last 2 years since I started talking about this. We need to have a serious conversation on gambling. The Labour Party are not against gambling, but there are so many people who are exposed to gambling and have a problem with gambling and may have a problem with gambling that we need to protect them.
So when it comes to that national lottery, lotto draw point that Senator Mark Wall makes, you put some questions on that to RTE.
Well, I asked RTE how much advertising revenue it received from the national lottery, how much this spend had increased in the past decade, whether it was appropriate to have the lotto draw at the time on Saturday night, and should RTE be running gambling ads that show affluence and prosperity if you win, and what has RTE done to assist gambling addicts. RTE sent me a response. They said they regularly cover gambling and related issues across television, radio and online services. There's a current storyline on Fair City and RTE1, for example. They pointed to the various codes that regulate the advertising, the BAI, the ASAI, and they also said RTE does not carry ads for casinos or roulette. All advertisements for gambling service or products on RTE are required to contain a message to encourage responsible gambling. Then I asked those questions in relation to revenue. How much basically does RTE get from the National Lottery in terms of advertising? They pointed me to RTE's annual report. However, RTE does not disclose specific details of spend by advertisers on the RTE platforms.
And I know you asked the National Lottery for their response. Before that, though, you got some other opinions on this.
Yesterday afternoon, I spoke to some people in Cork City Centre, just got their thoughts on the lotto and on gambling in general.
Do you do the lotto?
I do, from time to time.
Would you consider it gambling?
Yes, I would consider it gambling, just because the chances of you actually winning are very slim.
And do you think generally people, when they're playing the lotto, say to themselves, I'm gambling now?
I think most people don't think about it, but like generally when there's the big ones, like the Euro Millions and stuff, they do. I understand the use for ads and stuff, but at the same time, like, you know, I think there should be a time and place for them. It's gambling, but basically sugar-coated.
Do you play the lotto?
No, not at all.
Why not?
I just don't, no interest, man. I just won't do it.
People would say gambling is a problem in Ireland.
It's a huge problem now, I'd say, yeah. Yeah, I've seen that advertised a lot, all right, about the gambling, that there's a lot of, well, they're saying there's a lot of help out there now.
I do the Euro Millions.
Do you consider it gambling?
No, I wouldn't. Okay, if people abuse it, maybe it would. But, like, you know, I just do my quick pick on a Tuesday and a Friday.
And do you think there's lots of advertisements on TV and radio for the lotto?
Yeah.
Should there be a threshold maybe before 9 o'clock, for example?
Well, I have the app on my phone.
Yeah.
And there's a block on it during the night. So there is a bit of a safety valve there.
Yeah. And do you think generally when people are playing the Euro Millions or the lotto that they say to themselves, I'm gambling?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah.
But then again, like, I'm moderate, you know, I just do my two quick picks a week and that's it.
Personally, I don't consider it myself gambling, no. And you're helping charity and people like that, like, yeah, yeah.
Have you ever won anything?
No, never won anything, no. The lotto, they're not responsible, and I'm not just saying that, they're not responsible for people's...
You don't think they are?
No, but everybody has their own choice, do you know what I mean? I'm not just saying that, I mean it 100%. Everybody has their own choice and own free will, like, that. There's nobody forcing them to go in and buy.
So, Brian, you got in touch with the National Lottery.
Yes, they pointed out how much of the revenue was given to good causes last year, €289 million. They say they have one of the most rigorous and robust player protection systems available. And they pointed out a range of measures they apply to ensure people play safely. We heard there's no access between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. or you can't purchase a lotto between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. And then they have various other measures, including no VIP system in place. And they have daily, weekly and monthly financial spending limits. I asked them as well, Claire, a series of specific questions. For example, I asked them in relation to how much they spend on advertising between 2015 and 2020. They say it's commercially sensitive information. I asked them how much money has been spent since 2020. Again, commercially sensitive information. I asked them how much of the money they spend is given to RTE. Again, they tell me they don't disclose a breakdown of their advertising spend. And I said, is it appropriate to be promoting gambling during a family viewing experience? That's the Saturday night movie. They tell me all their products are marketed exclusively at adults only, and the lotto draw has been on the same time in RT television since 1988. They say they're subject to a detailed code of practice on advertising. It is reviewed annually. There is oversight by the regulator. And then you have the ASAI code and the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland code. The percentage that goes to good causes from scratch cards, raffles and draws is 65% of the amount that's left from sales after all prizes are paid out. And typically around 2% of prizes remain unclaimed in any given year. That was just over €17 million last year.
All right, Brian. Well, listening to all that is clinical child psychologist Dr. David Coleman. David, thanks for being with us today. How much of an issue is this in your view?
Good morning, Claire. Yeah, it's a big issue. I mean, there's quite a bit of research done. I mean, it is interesting that when you look at other kind of big problem issues for society like alcohol or smoking, there are very clear legislative codes in place with regard to advertising, particularly marketing and advertising to children. And that isn't in place for gambling. Now, I think the bill that's coming, whenever it comes, is going to address that. But certainly at the moment, it's pretty much voluntary in terms of the way gambling is advertised. And so that means that children are susceptible to gambling advertising. And there are a lot more children and teenagers who are getting both, I suppose, an awareness of gambling and then getting hooked onto gambling. So some of the research, and this comes from across a whole range of different countries, so Canada, the US, the UK, Norway, Australia, that would show that between maybe 63% and 82% of teenagers gamble every year, and that between 4 and 7% of teenagers have really serious patterns of what you might consider pathological or problematic gambling, mm-hmm. which is just, I mean, it's kind of frightening, really, that there's even yeah. that proportion of children and teenagers involved.
Just going back to what Brian was saying when he asked the National Lottery about all of this, in one of their replies, they said all our products are marketed exclusively at adults only. And I'm sure you have seen the ads where a winner has built a theme park for the local community, or you have that slide that goes down through apartments and houses and so on. Yeah. What is the impact of those types of ads on children? Do they get through to them? I'm sure they do.
Oh, of course, they absolutely do. So again, another piece of research that was done. So this was done by Gamble Aware over in the UK, and they commissioned Ipsos MORI to have a look at all the different kind of advertising, gambling advertising. So there's a whole range of information. But one of the things they did was they did qualitative research. So they actually talked to some of the children and teenagers who took part in their larger scale research. And what those children said, the kinds of things that appeal to children in advertising, particularly gambling advertising. So lots of colour, and all the lotto ads in particular are very colourful, where there's fun involved. So where it seems like the whole thing is just fun, where there's some element of glamour, where there's a sense of people like me, and then this idea of a big win, all of which are absolutely central to what I would understand, certainly in terms of the lotto ads, the ones that I would have seen. And so children, children latch onto these things. And so even though that doesn't necessarily mean, obviously, they're under 18 anyway, that they're not going to go and buy a lotto ticket, but they just have an awareness of gambling. So I think, that market research that they did showed that 96% of 11 to 24 year olds reported having seen some kind of gambling marketing. I mean, that's, again, so almost every child
yes.
is seeing all this stuff. And mm-hmm. and of course, it's appealing to them. And all it's doing at their age probably is planting a seed for most of them. But then, like even parents, how many parents will have gone to their kids and said, OK, come on, I'm going to do the lotto. It's a big one this week. Give me some numbers. What numbers will I pick? So even adults within their own families will encourage children to be part of something like the lotto, because I think a lot of people, including the children, don't necessarily see that it's actually gambling.
But there is some gambling, though, that is specifically aimed at children. And as parents, we mightn't even be aware of this. But the toys that are aimed at them now, particularly the more recent iterations, the ones where you have to open the bag and see what's in there in the hope that you get the one that you're trying to collect, they're all gambling, aren't they?
They are. And so funny, when I was doing some of my own research, before I came to talk to you, so they call them blind bag toys, and it's a huge part of toy manufacture. And so I suppose our exposure to it when we were children was probably something more akin to, the lucky dip, so if
the
you're on a
fairground
or something. Yeah, so there's literally a bag, a brown paper bag or a white paper bag, and you don't know what's in it, but you pay your money.
They were so
and you
rubbish, weren't
something.
They?
Yeah,
always rubbish.
But the equivalent, now, is all these collectibles. So, Match Attack, all those kinds of things where you have children buying a pack of cards, perhaps, and they're hoping for the one big card that's in there, the one that's really rare. So there's always a rare something that's very
LOLs, Hatchimals. I can list them all. I know them all so well.
There you
I can
are.
Ask for them all the time.
But when you look at the packaging of those, they almost all exclusively say collect them all. So there's this real push, and what it relies on then is what's called intermittent reinforcement. And so, we understand from behavioral theory. So reinforcement is where something you do something and then you get some kind of reward for it. And so when you get the reward, you tend to do the thing again. But what happens is if you only sporadically or randomly get the reward, it intensifies your desire to keep having a go to see, will you get the thing? And I mean, that's the core principle that makes gambling so addictive for so many people. But it's the same for children. If you look at some of the video games that children play, so Fortnite, I think, is a good example, where within the game, you can spend money, actual money, to buy what are called loot boxes. And in the loot boxes is, again, an equivalent. So it might be a skin, which is like a kind of an outfit that you can put on your character, or it might be some kind of equipment that you think you might want. And again, most of the time, the equipment or the skin, not something you do want, but every so often, there's going to be something in there that you think, okay, that's the one. And so that's, again, what brings you back to spend more money. So for sure, I mean, even though it mightn't be actual advertising towards children. I mean, we certainly do with even some of the toys that are out there and games for children, we do encourage them to gamble.
And how, or if you're concerned that your child might be gambling, and we're thinking about older children here, how does that manifest? What are the signs, David?
So it's a little bit complicated because some of the signs are actually some of the same signs as you'd find if they had a problem with alcohol or drugs, in that they might be coming to you regularly asking for money. It might be that they're actually, you know, not attending school on a regular basis, or they've become withdrawn from you or from their friends. They might have less interest in their usual activities. I suppose some of the things that maybe are a little bit more specific to gambling, well, yeah, money going missing, I suppose, just in terms of money, that would be the same if they were using the money to spend it on drugs. But when they have extra money, when they have, you know, these kind of valuable items that you really don't expect them to have, again, that should throw up a warning flag for parents. Where are they getting that money from? If you notice that they have gambling apps downloaded to their phone, if you have access to their phone and you see those gambling apps, that's an indication that they may well be actually out there gambling, because again, much harder to regulate age profiles of, so teenagers can actually get access to some of the gambling apps. If they have really, I suppose, a lot of interest in lots of different sporting events, that would be a typical one, you know, so that they're not just tracking the football, but they're also tracking, you know, any other sport that they may be gambling or betting on. Or if they just seem, when, you know, if somebody else in the family is talking about betting and suddenly they're just wildly interested and you can see they're really clued in, those are maybe some indications that gambling has become a problem for them.
Right, they're the red flags to watch out for. Well, David, thank you very much for taking part in that item. That's Dr. David Coleman and also our reporter, Brian O'Connell. We'll be in New Zealand next to hear about the Tinder scam involving photographs of an Irish senator. That's after this.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.